This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:46 on the Evening Edition. You're with Kelvin and Hezriel. And our next story is about how to make public transportation safer in light of the pandemic. This story comes from Free Malaysia Today. MDS Consultancy Group, they propose some ways to make buses, trains and other transport services safer now that they can operate at full capacity.
Yep, so some of the ideas they put forth include temperature checks at stations and terminals, installing systems to improve air circulation in trains and managing passenger data and queues, as well as enforcing hand sanitization and the wearing of masks. But this discussion also goes beyond the transport itself because it's also it concerns supporting infrastructure, right? Like walkways and bicycle lanes in urban areas.
Yeah, and just looking at what full capacity means, right? Now, transport operators must ensure that the SOPs are observed during rides and flights. So we have to use face masks and we must use hand sanitizers. Public transport users must also download the MySejahtera app. And I think one thing that also jumped out at me was the fact that it's also no longer necessary, for example, for airlines to enforce compulsory physical distancing, which is quite interesting because we covered that quite a bit in the past when we spoke to someone from Airbus saying that, well, the filtration system within the airplane itself is adequate and the physical distancing there might not be necessary. But overall, that is a required SOPs. We're also seeing examples in other countries that there has been no public transport clusters, you know, in Japan and France specifically.
For sure. And I think it all boils down to discipline and being considerate of other people. And, you know, when so I'm not comfortable enough to take the LRT for now. So I'm fortunate to be able to drive home to work and take a grab. But, you know, when I did take the LRT and I stood up, I could never find myself like not touching, you know, the handles or something to stay stable. So it's a lot of, you know, they're very tiny things, but they can make a huge impact in sanitizing hands. And I think also, you know, making other people feel comfortable, or making our fellow Malaysians feel safe is very important too.
For sure. We're now going to cross over to Ihsan Zainal, president of the Malaysian Institute of Planners. But very quickly before that, you can let us know how your experience has been on public transportation. Do you feel comfy? Do you feel safe being on it? You can let us know 7733 2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Ihsan, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
What do you make of the current SOPs for public transport?
You know, before I get to that, public transport itself is a contradictory to social distancing, you know.
Yeah.
Public transport is mass transport, you know. And I think you have no choice, actually. But I think Malaysians have been very good with self-discipline. So I heard the earlier talk that, you know, it's close to impossible. But I think if the individual takes the responsibility, make sure that, you know, you always wash your hands, keep a reasonable distance in the public transport, I think we should be all right.
Right. And something that has stood out for many of us is the fact that there is no compulsory physical distancing required on trains or buses. Why do you think the rules are so lax when it comes to this?
Number one, I think it's because it's a question of choice. I think if we completely close the public transport, it's going to be a problem. If you apply social distancing within the mass transit, it's also a massive organization problem. I think organizing people within a public transport, because we have a lot of buses and trains running, you know, and it's needed within the urban area. So, you know, if you backlog and control the number of people on the bus, for example, and then that backlog will go to the station. So you still have crowded areas, you know. So I think one of the principles of the in COVID-19 is to keep that distance of 1 meter. It's not easy. But once you get on the train, I think it's really or on the bus, you have no choice. The design of the bus is such, the design of the train is such. We can, for example, make sure that, or you know, no standing, that could be one additional. But again, it will cause a backlog at the bus stops, at the bus stations, train stations. So it's only putting the problem outside the train, and it still will lead to close contact, you know. So I think in public transport, the idea of having that distancing, it's not going to be easy if it is to be implemented. And I think if you do keep that self-discipline of cleaning your hands, not touching your face, not touching the bar, I mean, you have to touch, but then when you come out, you make sure you wash your hands before you get on the bus. You make sure you sanitize yourself. So I think these little steps that the government has enforced, and I think Malaysian self-discipline has proved that it can be successful, it can work, and as far as public transport is concerned, I think we have no choice.
On that note, are there structural changes to the design and layout of trains and train stops that we could explore?
Okay, so the possibility of structural changes, I think it's very difficult. I mean, you can reduce the size of students in the classroom. You probably can reduce the size of or the number of passengers in the train, but like I said, it will create. You have to ensure the frequency of the train compensates for that crowd, and also I think in the long term or mid to long term, is that a substantial number of the workforce in the city would be working from home, so that will itself reduce the number of people using public transport. Maybe they can also go on the cab and ensure that, you know, there'll be a mix of maybe more cabs and people on the bus and the train, because a substantial number of people will be working from home. So it involves a lot more organizing, but the current policy, I feel, is sufficient. I think, you know, overall in the country, the numbers have proven. But we can go and do other modes of transport. For example, I think we can definitely improve the bicycle lanes, the walkways. So a combination of this, you know, less people on the public transport, more people working from home, less usage of... more usage of bikes and walking within the city centre. I think that will help reduce the chances of you know, getting infected by the COVID-19.
Right, and do you think there will need to be significant shifts in commuter behaviour? How do you think design would be able to encourage this? I know you've mentioned that some things are inevitable, but if we were to just go back to the drawing board, so to speak, how could this change?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, so the policy from the very beginning, I think, where we have always in town planning encouraged more people to commute on the public transport. But public transport itself is not going to reduce congestion, and it's not going to reduce congestion in the city. So we should look, you know, we should take a look at what happened in those 3 months that we were home. You know, the carbon produced was less, the rivers were cleaner. So that itself sent a message that if we talk in terms of carbon footprint, we have too many people on the streets using private cars, producing carbon. We have too many people not being responsible with regards to polluting the waterways. So it is a combination. One is to look at the public transport as a multimodal, and also to look into the question of connectivity. Now, if you encourage people, despite COVID-19, to take the public transport, In terms of design, we can ensure, or we can at least try to ensure that there will be less congestion with a better managed traffic. We should ensure that people can hop on the bus, get down, take the train, get down, use the bicycle if you like, and everything is within walking distance. And the walk itself is comfortable. In our country, that's hot. It's shaded. It's safe. You know, that is more of a problem than COVID itself, because you see, like people get. I mean, there are people who get victims of snatch theft. There are victims of being involved in road accidents. You know, the roads are designed more for people in the car. We should definitely consider more for people walking. So if I may use the word, you know, it's a reset to how we should be thinking in design. Again, more emphasis to the people rather than to the cars. So our cities, our towns, we should be looking to the well-being of the person, of the commuter, of the community. So I think you know that involves a change of how we look at public transport, how we look at roads, how we manage pedestrian walkways. You know, so I think we have improved in many ways, but COVID-19 is telling us that we need to improve more.
Yeah, absolutely. Ihsan, thank you again for speaking to us.
You're most welcome.
That was Ihsan Zainal, president of the Malaysian Institute of Planners, speaking to us about keeping public transport and commuters safe during the RMCO. And he's right, you know, regardless of COVID-19 or not, we do need to bump up the way we plan our cities, our towns, and just public transportation in general.
For sure. And I think we've had a lot of time to reflect during this pandemic, and I hope moving forward that it's not just taken lightly, and it doesn't slip people's minds, and that it's followed up on and it doesn't matter whether another crisis, right, another pandemic happens or not. It's really about everyday conveniences and just trying to improve the little things for everyone.
Yep, you can let us know how your experience on public transport can be improved, especially in light of the pandemic. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We have the 7 p.m. news coming up. This is the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Bombing frustrated minds, BFM 89.9.
It's 7:36. You are with Kelvin and Hezriel on the evening edition. Earlier as well, we were talking about, well, commuting essentially in public transportation. You know, we spoke about ways to improve confidence and safety in taking public transportation. So, you know, on that very thought, we decided to call a commuter to talk to them about their experience so far. And on the line with us, we have Daniel. Thanks so much for joining us on the show today, Daniel. Why do you use public transport? How long have you been a commuter?
Oh, okay. I've been using the public transport, taking trains for close to a year now. The reason so, because to get to work, definitely. But previously, on and off, I would actually use public transport to get to locations which is accessible by public transport, just to save parking.
Right. How does it feel to be commuting regularly again after the MCO and CMCO?
Well, in all honesty, it was quite worrying at first because we don't know what to expect and how social distancing works, because as you can see, in our public transport, it always looks like a sardine can. Everyone was like jam-packed. But I think after a while, once you blend in, right, things are getting better. So, it was worrying at the first time when it all started back.
Right, and are the crowds the same as before? Do you think the use of public transport has increased or decreased now that trains are open?
I think with some companies still opting for working from home, not many have actually come out to actually use the public transport. As I can see, the number of people commuting definitely not as many as previous before the MCO. But foreseen as more companies are allowing their staff to come back to office, right, that will change.
How safe do you feel with all of these new SOPs, and do you think they are enough?
Well, in terms of the SOP, I would still feel that as what we have now, right, it's not enough. Because in terms of how safe do I feel, sometimes I still feel that some areas could be affected, or some people with the not wearing masks and the social distancing are not properly carried out as well.
Right, and how is physical distancing observed on public transport?
People are not observing it, as in like they just need to get into the train. So everyone is rushing, right? The moment the train is here, everyone just keep rushing into the train without realizing that they're actually bumping into each other, shoulder brushing each other and things like that. So yeah, those are not really a good sign.
How do you feel about having to touch certain surfaces, like, you know, touch and go readers and handrails?
Totally uncomfortable, because you don't know what anyone who has really touched the surface before. And as you know, there are lots of people commuting every day. So you definitely, the surface is not clean. And I'm pretty sure it wasn't clean on hourly basis as well. So it's kind of worrying.
Right. And out of curiosity, do you wear gloves since this worries you?
Well, I do see a small group of people that will wear gloves. But I myself, I don't wear gloves. I just try my best not to touch any surfaces, and then also try to sanitize my hand as much as I can.
Right. And do you feel like most people have been complying with the SOPs from what you see on your journeys?
In terms of social distancing, that is totally a no already, because as they got into the train, as informed, shared earlier, they will just start to get very close to each other. And some foreign workers, they don't even wear masks. So that's the scary part. So yeah, in terms of people following steps, they are getting people are start to slack off and not following the needed SOP.
And has it been a big change in terms of daily habits and behaviors for you?
Well, in terms of the daily habits and behavior, I have to change, as in avoiding the large crowd. I will definitely leave earlier, as in got to work earlier, and then try to leave on time so that I don't mix around with the avoid the crowded timing.
Right, and in your opinion, what's been the most challenging aspect of the new SOPs?
Definitely is the mask wearing, because sometimes when you're rushing, right, you actually tend to forget something, and then you realize, oh, I forgot my mask. Then you have to run back to actually buy one, or actually to get one in order to actually commute. The next thing will be, I think, is more of using your phone that you need to scan. So the paranoid part is when you need to start to touch things and get things out, and then that will get me a bit uncomfortable.
And on a scale of 1 to 10, how well do you think the staff are handling all these new rules, and why?
Based on my observation, I would give them a 7. At least they make a point to dare to inspect the passengers before they allow them to pass through. The reason I give them a 7 is also because of the inconsistency. No doubt, temperatures are taken, and then they are require them to actually scan the barcode. But most of the staff there, right, they don't check, as in they don't verify. They scan the temperature, and then they will just let you pass without they themselves reading the temperature. And then they don't actually check on your phone whether you did scan the barcode and the details appeared or not. So technically, they see you do it, and then they just let you pass without verifying.
And if you could improve on one of the SOPs, which would it be, and how would you improve it?
Well, I'm not the expert of this area. Looking at the current SOP now, it should be sufficient, but I think in terms of control, it should be more tightened, as I've just mentioned, that if you wanted to measure temperature, it should be properly measured and taken into account. And other than that, if other things can be automated, right, will be much preferred. Like I don't have to take out my touch and go and then to touch the screen or anything to just get into a train. And probably having someone to actually make sure when the train is full so people don't actually get into the train.
Daniel, on that note, thank you so much for sharing your commuting experience with us. Well, seven, it seems, how well the staff is handling there.
Yeah, and I think I've experienced the same thing in malls and restaurants. Sometimes they don't really check if I even fill out my details. For the most part, I don't think I've had anyone not, you know, actually take a look at my temperature. But yeah, I think that part is crucial. It's such a minor thing, but when it comes to contact tracing, it can make all the difference. So I certainly think that that should be, improved.
And really beyond public transport, I really think the key thing here is consistency. I see that, you know, really based on the places I regularly go to, for example, the gym, it's really dependent on who is at the front door to deal with the and execute the SOPs, right? Sometimes they say, well, this is for your shoes, and no, and this is for your hands, and you know, they kind of get all that mixed up. So I think that has to be more centralized, and maybe that training has to be in place,
yeah,
right?
I think I was just about to say, I wonder if to what extent were they properly, you know, trained and thoroughly, you know, given the chance to transition, because it's so new to actually do these things and do them consistently that, you know, it takes time and attention. And yeah, it shouldn't be underestimated.
This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.